Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Sunday, May the 12th. Happy Mother's Day to all of you and welcome to our commentary. Speaking of Mother's Day, I have a post over at the American Thinker today where I'm talking about Mother's Day and in particular, a very special character, television character on Mother's Day, and that is June Cleaver. June Cleaver was, of course, the mother on the television show Leave It to Beaver. She was actually Barbara Billingsley, who died in 2010 at the age of 94. For a time there, she was one of the most popular television mothers of that of those shows in the late 50s, early 60s. And I didn't watch that show. We were not even living in the United States, but I caught on with it when our family came to the United States in 1964. Now, by that time, as I mentioned in my post, Leave It to Beaver was actually on reruns by the time that we got here, but I really fell for the show and I liked it a lot. And I watch every show that comes on TV, every Leave It to Beaver rerun that comes on television. I enjoyed a great deal, but I was very fond of the character, June Cleaver, because I think in so many ways she represented the best of motherhood. And she was, I guess some would say, an old-fashioned 1950s mother, maybe she was. But I think for many of us, it reminded us of our mothers. And that is this person in our lives who's 100% committed to her family, who dedicates her life to her family, her kids, and who obviously is a very big part of our families, teaches us all the right lessons, and fills that hole in our lives or that space in our lives that only a great mother can fill. So I remember today, June Cleaver. Check out my post over at the American Thinker. You can see it at americanthinker.com, or you can check it right here on Twitter. If you're watching me on Twitter, it would be the post right before this video. Or you can always go to my blog, of course, and check it out there. But June Cleaver, one of my favorite television characters. And, you know, I've written about this before, that there are three. I have three favorite mothers, television mothers, as I like to call them. One is, of course, June Cleaver of Leave It to Beaver. The other one is the lady in the little house in the prairie. I can't quite remember her name right now, but she was an absolutely great mother as well and a great character. And then, of course, the one and only Morticia Adams, who was with the Addams family, and she brought that you know, comical nature to motherhood. So those three characters, Leave It to Beaver, The Little House in the Prairie, and then the Addams family, were my three favorite television mothers. And I always, I'm always reminded of them on Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all of you. If you're still fortunate enough to have your mom with you, make sure you call her and make sure you pay attention to her and take care of her. In our case, my mother actually died exactly 3 years ago today. She died at age 92, so we cannot complain too much. She lived a very long life, but nevertheless, we still miss her. And you know, who wouldn't miss your mom? I mean, she is that one consistent. You know, as someone said, you know, your mother is the one person who loves you without conditions. Unconditional love is what they call it. Of course, you know, I'm obviously very strong supporter of the two-parent family, mom and dad in the house. And I was very fortunate to have both of them growing up, my mother and my father, each one being very responsible in how they performed their duties. But today, of course, we remember the moms. And happy Mother's Day. I hope you have a chance to salute your mom. And if she's around, make sure you call her and you pay attention to her, because when she's gone, as is my case, I think you'll find that you wish you had just told her one more time how much you appreciate everything that she did for you. So happy Mother's Day, and check out my post about June Cleaver over at the American Thinker. On Friday, I had a post also at the American Thinker about President Milei of Argentina. You know, he's been in the news a lot. This is something somewhat unusual. We don't talk that much. Even someone like me who's, you know, generally interested in the politics of Latin America, but we just don't usually talk that much about the president of Argentina or what he's doing or so on. But this particular president, President Milei of Argentina, is really, you know, as they say, walking some new territory. He's out there, you know, preaching a different message. He is, I would say, he's a combination populist, conservative, libertarian. He's not your traditional Republican, you might say, conservative Republican. He does have a lot of conservative characteristics, of course, we would call conservative, that is. But he seems to be also more libertarian. He is a nationalist. He believes very strongly in Argentina and the future of Argentina, and that's a good thing. You should be a nationalist. You should love your country. That's an important part of being the leader of the country. He set in motion budget cuts. He has forced the government of Argentina to cut down its bureaucracy. And he's just doing a lot of things in Argentina that are drawing the attention of many people. Now, he's getting two kinds of reactions. Some people just think he's great. Some people believe that he is doing the right thing and setting, in a sense, being an inspiration for other Latin American countries to follow a more conservative and free market path. Some people say that. But then you have, on the other hand, many people who think that, you know, it's all going to fall apart, that he's just a friend of Trump, that he's not really going to survive, and so on and so on. Honestly, I don't know which way it's going to go. I'm hoping that he does well. I'm hoping that he opens a door or a new path in Latin America for a stronger free market approach to politics. You know, right now, unfortunately, there are too many left-center politicians in Latin America, whether it's Colombia, whether it's Chile, or, you know, whether it's Brazil, and these Mexico, these countries. Mexico is not doing too bad economically, but they've got other problems, of course. But you have others who are starting to turn it around. Of course, Venezuela is a disaster for a lot of reasons. But Milei in Argentina is really someone who we could be talking about him in 5 to 10 years as the guy who started something new, the guy who started a new movement focused on free markets and capitalism. So we'll see how it works out. I'm definitely cheering for him, and I'm hoping that it all works out, because he's got the right ideas as far as I'm concerned, and I think the record shows that socialism and left-wing ideas do not work for Latin America. I mean, that's pretty obvious. They just don't work. What they do is create situations like what you're seeing in Brazil or what you're seeing in Venezuela, where things just are not working out well. And people are very bitterly divided in those countries as to where we go from here. I've got a post coming out Monday morning about this trial in New York. It's an absolute travesty. I've said it before. I think that, you know, if this was anybody else, this wouldn't even be a trial. In other words, no other person in New York would be subjected to this garbage except Donald Trump. It's a politically motivated trial. The judge should be ashamed of himself. The district attorney should be fired. I would even argue disbarred for the kind of case that he's brought against Donald Trump. So it's really a very sad day for the judicial system in New York. But my post is talking about the fact that there is one big winner in all of this and one big loser. The big winner is Donald Trump, who's going to be reelected, and largely because of this, because I think he has, in a sense, brought the base together and the Republican Party together behind him, because I think a lot of people see this for what it is. It's just political persecution. It's banana republic type persecution. So he's the big winner. He's going to go back to the White House, largely because of this. Obviously, the economy and his record just make it even strong, make his case even stronger. But then on the other hand, I think the big loser is New York, the state of New York, and the judicial system in New York that has been completely embarrassed by this. You know, why in the world would anybody want to invest in New York? Why would any, let's say, Republican businessman want to do business in New York, knowing what they're doing to Trump, they could do it to you. You know, and I don't know if you've been following this fellow, Kevin O'Leary. You see him a lot on TV. I guess he is, he's one of these people who goes around the world collecting money or bringing investment to the United States. And he's basically saying, look, you know, I'm not putting any money in New York. This is killing New York. You know, people around the world are looking at this and going, wait a minute. This is the United States of America. And you're doing this kind of banana republic trial. So I think the state of New York is a big loser. And the Democrat Party, at least at the presidential level, is also a big loser because, you know, they could have done something a lot better. What they should have done is that if they should have replaced Biden or have Biden say 6 months ago he was not running for re-election and then open up the primary and open up the party to a successor. They didn't do that. They stuck with Biden, who doesn't have a record. There's nothing that he would run on. And they decided that rather than present, you know, rather than run on Joe Biden's record, that they were going to go out and destroy Donald Trump. It's not working. The document trial in Florida is not working. Now, the problem with that trial is that when you have nothing happened to Hillary Clinton over documents, nothing's going to happen to Joe Biden because they concluded he's an old man with a bad memory. So how can you go after Trump? I mean, it's just completely ridiculous. That's just not going to wash. And then that January 6th trial is stuck in the courts. The trial down in Georgia is a comedy, to say the least. So those three are not going the way they thought they were going to go. They thought one of those was going to be the one that would nail Trump. Well, that's not going to happen. So now we find ourselves having to listen to this lady, Stormy Daniels, talk about her encounter with Donald Trump back in 2006, an encounter that is completely irrelevant to this case. This is not a case about marital infidelity. I don't even know if Trump was married in 2006. I really don't know. But anyway, this is not a case about, you know, a businessman meeting a woman in a hotel in Vegas. That's not what this case is about. But they brought her in anyway, just to embarrass Trump. So, you know, Jonathan Turley has an article today saying that the judge should call a mistrial. He should. He should end this thing next week. End it and say, we're not going any further with this. This is a travesty. I don't know whether he'll do it, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a phone call from somebody in the Democrat Party calling him and saying, you know what? End it. Just bring this to an end because this is not working for the Democrats. In fact, this trial is actually hurting the Democrats. Well, let me leave you today with just a quick note from on this day in history. It was on this day in 1925 that a fellow named Yogi Berra, his real name is Lawrence Berra, but he came to be known as Yogi Berra, the man of many expressions and many quotes. I don't even know if he said all the things that people say he said, but he said a bunch of them. And he was also a very good baseball player, one of the best players of his generation. He won the MVP three times. He was part of the Yankee teams that went to the World Series 11 or 12 times. Yogi Berra, one of the greats, who also had a knack for saying some of the greatest things in the world, like it ain't over until it's over. That I think that's one of his most famous ones. So we remember Yogi Berra today, who was born in 1925 in St. Louis and passed away in 2015. The great Yogi Berra, we remember him today. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is Silvio Cantu in Dallas.